Do you want to become a better songwriter? Well, we created a very simple 10-minute songwriter personality test, and it's going to help you better understand who you are as a writer, and it's going to help you in the writer's room when you're writing with other writers, because you're going to be able to identify what kind of writer they are. Maybe even have them take the songwriter personality test. If you're curious and you want to take the songwriter personality test today, just visit songwriterpersonalitytest.com or go to the link on the writingworship.co website.
Welcome to the Writing Worship Podcast, a place for kingdom-minded songwriters to grow in their craft and community.
Hello, worship songwriter. If you are a writer of Christian music, if you write songs for the church, then this is the right place for you. I'm your host, Eric Nordoff, co-founder of Writing Worship, together with my wife, Chrissy Nordoff. And we have a great episode for you today. You may have noticed that in the last few weeks, we haven't released a podcast. It's because we've been quite busy since the conference. We had a conference here October 9th, 10th, and 11th, and I was actually sick for this one. I showed up in some public places, talked to some people outside, but I had a fever for the entire week. I had a flu, it ended up being flu type A, and it was a nasty one. I'm barely able to talk now, and it is November 13th. So it is definitely been a rough ride. And so that's another reason why you may have not heard a podcast, because typically I'm the one that puts this podcast together and does all of the details. And so it's a labor of love. I love podcasting. It's been something I've done since 2012. And I love this Writing Worship podcast. As a matter of fact, you may or may not know, some of you, this link is actually, this RSS feed is what you call it. This feed is actually the same feed as the Brave Worship feed, the Brave Worship podcast that we started, well, that my wife and her sister started in 2016. So if you go all the way back to the beginning of this podcast, you'll hear all of the Brave Worship podcasts. We did over 100 of them, and they're very, very good. As you may or may not know, that the Brave Worship is a ministry to female songwriters. And it's something that Chrissy had in her heart to do all the way back to 2011, 2010. So that's really the birthplace for Writing Worship. If it wasn't for Brave Worship and the ministry that Chrissy did and all the team did in hosting writers in our home, hosting writers and praying for songwriters in this town in Nashville, we wouldn't have Writing Worship. So we have Brave Worship to thank. But anyway, just a little side note there, a little bit of history to talk about. And the reason we haven't done a podcast, like I said, is because we had conference, which I was sick for. And then it took me a few weeks to get better. But now we have a whole slew of amazing messages and talks that we're going to start to release here on the Writing Worship podcast, because we had a ton of breakouts. I think we had 12 breakout sessions. We had 4 main sessions, plus we had some talks that are, we call them TED Talks, Writing Worship TED Talks, that our mentors gave. So we have a ton of great content. If you weren't at conference, or if you were at conference and you want to hear these talks again, or you missed the talks in the breakout sessions, you're going to love this opportunity to listen in to all of the talks that we gave at Writing Worship Conference right here in Franklin, Tennessee, earlier this year in October of 2023. So that's been going on. We also have a bunch of new releases. Something that we haven't really talked about is, as a community, we have been writing songs for the last year and a half. We have been capturing those songs, the songs that our writers in our community have written, and we picked 14 of them. And so we recorded 14 of those back in May of this year. And we are now in the process of releasing these amazing, powerful, impactful songs for the church. We started releasing these October 6th, I believe, was the first two songs. The first two songs were released on those dates. And those were Who Jesus Is, featuring Tamar Chip and Meg Ammons. Meg actually wrote that in one of her retreats that she does down in Florida. And then we also released Filled With Your Glory, featuring Erica Violet and Karina Jane. A powerful, that second half as well of that song, where we almost a second song was written that went along with that. These were some powerful, powerful, spontaneous worship that we were able to capture on Filled With Your Glory. And we kept that. Actually, all of these songs had a spontaneous section, but we just couldn't release them all with this kind of spontaneous format at the end of it, or else they would all be 10, 11, some of them were 20 minutes long. But then just recently, we released All My Thank Yous, featuring Haley Hibbard. And then we also released Perseverance, which is featuring Mary Beth Suddeth and Daniel Doss, and was written by Chrissy as well, along with the Crosspoint worship team. So just been a fun season of releasing songs. We'll release another two songs in January, another two songs in February, and then we're going to release this entire record of 14 songs. So there's videos that go along with this. If you want to listen to them, you can easily go to writingworship.co/music. And you'll be able to experience all the videos, and you'll have links there to the streaming services, Apple Music, Spotify, chord charts, tracks, of course. All of that will be available to you, because we want to service these songs to the church. We want the church to sing these songs. So all of that's there for you in the music section of our writingworship.co website. Of course, we continue to write songs and critique songs. As a matter of fact, today we had a big song party that Nick and Melissa Morrow hosted. You've heard Nick. Nick is on this podcast. Actually, the music that you hear, the bumper music, is actually music from Mountaintops that Nick and Melissa are Mountaintops. So they are a band as well. But Nick is our leader of writing club. He runs our writing club and our mentorship program. And you can, so they had a big party today where they broke down the goodness of God. They broke that song down, and it was a lot of fun. We might even actually put this on the podcast sometime, because there's some really great things that you can nerd out about with worship songs. So that's really fun. If you're interested in Writing Club, you can find out more about that when you go to writingworship.co. There's an application there. All of the songs that were written came from Writing Club members. All the songs in our that we're releasing, that we're recording and releasing, came out of Writing Club. All the songs that we're propagating and trying to make sure the church hears, championing these songwriters in our community, all of that comes out of Writing Club. So if you want to get involved with us, that is the place to do it. And we're so, so proud of all the members of our community. And so hopefully you can join that as well. Well, so now we are finally on to the main show for today's episode, and that is my wife, Chrissy Nordhoff. One of the breakouts that she gave was on the topic of psalming, which is something that we do. It's a foundational part of our mentorship. It's a foundational aspect to what we teach, to the writing worship method, if you will. And it's something that Chrissy is very passionate about. It's something that she practices every single day. You will see her or listen, or I will hear her psalming down here in our basement on the piano, singing the Psalms. So she even wrote a book about it, which is A Songwriter's Guide to Singing the Psalms. The first 20 pages or so are a tutorial, more detailed and more thorough tutorial on how to psalm, how to sing the Psalms. What are some things she's learned after singing the Psalms over all of these years? And then she also, a great part of this is actually, it's a journal. So she walks through, I think, the first 41 Psalms in this journal. And it gives you plenty of room to write and make notes. She has a tutorial about that. You can learn more actually at psalming.com, psalming.com. And this is volume one, the first of five volumes of the Psalming Journal, which we hope to release over the years through Writing Worship. But she gave a really thorough talk about psalming and the importance of psalming, singing the psalms. She talks about that in great detail at our Writing Worship conference. And so I'm going to play you the audio from that conference breakout session. Here it is, Chrissy Nordhoff teaching on psalming.
I'm really excited to share some new things that I learned kind of as I was researching for this book. Originally, I started kind of going a more academic direction with everything I was finding. When I was researching, I feel like, you know, I got little pieces throughout the years and I was collecting them all in the spot where I knew the new book was supposed to be written. And as the year unfolded, we began having conversations about conference this year and came back really to that question, what do people need? And, you know, that's one of my... one of the things that directs us as a community, that whole be what you need phrase. And so as we asked some more questions about that, I remember having a conversation with Nick and Eric, and I remember Eric saying, it can't be too academic for creatives, Chrissy. You got to remember, like, the creative brain, which I also have. I don't know, sometimes I get into this research mode, and I can kind of click over that side for a little bit. But in general, I'm mostly right brain for the most part. So I knew what he was talking about. And we had some deeper conversations about what that means and what that looks like. And is there any way we could create this resource where it could be an easy way to step in, where you describe in more detail than ever how to do psalming and then give them space to do that? So that's really the heart behind this book. So we made it nice and big so that there would be plenty of space so you could easily read it, so you wouldn't get distracted by trying to find where you were reading 5 seconds ago. When the print is real tiny, I have a hard time with that. And I don't know, did you guys vote on the colors on this on Facebook? All right, we had a little voting thing. Let me tell you what happened. So we were going to go to print, and we were having conversations with the printer. And what ended up happening was if we went with the gold, we wouldn't get it in time for conference. So we decided to go with the black. That's what happened with that. And that's why. So thank you for all of you who gave your input. And we may incorporate that into one of the next ones. But I'm going to go through this book with you. And if you have it, great. If you don't have it, don't worry. If you pick it up at some point, it'll just give you a little more insight into how to use it. So, I'm going to start on page 7 right here. I love this verse from Hebrews 8:11 in the Message. And it says, by an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. How many of you feel that way about psalming right now? You've never done it. You have no idea how to get there, but you feel like the Lord is maybe calling you into that place of psalming. Anybody? Yep. Okay. That was me at first too. And, you know, it was, it's been over 10 years ago. I actually have a video of me over 10 years ago talking about psalming. That is one of the QR codes in this book. So you'll get to see it. So I know I've been psalming for over a decade, but, I had been reading the Bible for a long time, reading, you know, different chapters. And I was really inspired by Sue Smith, who's teaching the women, or she's part of the women's panel upstairs right now, to read the entire thing. And I'll never forget her saying to me, I can't imagine getting to heaven and God saying, how did you like my book? And me looking at him and saying, I didn't read it. And that had a big impact on me. And I thought, she's right. She's right. I need to read God's book. I read all these other books all the way through, but I haven't made it through the most important one, God's book. And so I committed to doing that. And when I did that, I got to the Psalms and I realized that these should be sung. Like, why don't we sing the Psalms? Why do we read them? It didn't make sense. It didn't feel like, in my mind, it was as honoring to the text if I read them as if I sang them. And so I began this journey, and this is how it started. It started with step one, and I really just broke the journey of the last several years into steps. So step one, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And that feels like what the very first step of psalming was for me. I learned how to do it by singing it word for word. And it felt like it was honoring scripture when I did it that way. For me to come first humbly saying, Lord, I just want to sing what's on the paper. I want to sing what has come many, many years before I was here. And I sang straight through. And it's kind of odd when you first start doing it because, of course, it was written in a different language and we can't always see the patterns in our English language that or the poetry or some of the poetic devices that they used. Sometimes we can. Sometimes we can see a repeated phrase or a line, or you can clearly see where there was a chorus intended and it comes back. And when I saw those, I would sing the same melody as the previous one. But a lot of times when you're first starting out singing straight through, it feels a little awkward because it doesn't have the same shape that we're familiar with. And that's okay. So when you're starting out, if you can look at it as a prayer rather than a song necessarily, that will really help you to let go of having to have structure in that piece. And so your whole goal as you're walking through a psalm in step one is for you to observe. And that's the point of step one. You're not trying to change anything. You're not trying to write something new from what's there. You just are taking in what scripture is saying. And one of the first things I noticed was the large emotional spectrum that was in Psalms that I don't always see in church today. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. So there's so much more allowed in Psalms than what I was comfortable even singing when I sang through the first time. I felt like, oh my gosh, can I actually sing this? Like, Lord, is this okay for me to sing this out loud? But it is, because he allows room for all of our human emotions. It's what we do with them afterwards that really counts. And that in the Psalms is that Davidic cry I talk about in here, this pattern. David's in a tough place. He cries out. He's asking the Lord to come, and it's a long time sometimes, and he waits. And then the Lord will speak or break through, and then the worship comes. And so he's expressing all of those things. Oh, and sometimes he's lamenting for the most of the chapter, and then he might say, yet I will praise him again. There's always this turn that happens, and he takes his emotions and he walks them back to worship. And I think that's what's unique about the way things are expressed in Psalms. And I realized over time, the more that I sang them, I learned more about worship writing by singing Psalms than by anything else I've ever done. So as you do it, I can't even put into words what happens, but if you'll be faithful to the psalming, you'll learn the language of worship so much to the point where you won't be thinking about it anymore. You won't be thinking about, oh my word, is this theologically correct? Because when you put the word of God in your heart, the word will come out. What you're putting in, that's what's going to come out. If you're daily practicing the Psalms, you can speak the language. You learn the language. All right, so that's kind of step one. And throughout the book, I give you some examples through QR codes. And this one here is the Eagle Song from Psalm 103, which I was thinking about this morning because we were doing 103. And I kind of sang through, I mixed a few different translations in doing so, but I sang through and didn't really shape it, you know, didn't shape it into chorus, verse, that kind of thing. I kind of let that be what it was. You can do this a cappella. You don't need an instrument. If you play an instrument, great. Just do a simple chord progression so you can anticipate where you can go with your melody without having to think too hard. You don't want to overcomplicate it. You want to make sure that you don't have to think, if you know what I mean. So you can use an instrument. If you want to learn to play an instrument and you don't right now, I would recommend the Seagull Merlin. It's a 4-string dulcimer. Really easy to play. Way easier than guitar. And if you just want to feel strings on your fingers because it feels right when you're singing a psalm, that's a good spot to start. All right. And then step 2, we'll talk about next. And I put this verse in here. Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And step 2 is really all about listening. So we go beyond just observing what scripture is saying. And then when we get to that listening to the voice of God, sometimes the Lord will drop something in or he'll highlight a phrase that we're supposed to notice for right here and right now. And most of the time when he does that for me, I'll hear a hooky melody on that phrase. I'll hear a hooky melody and then I'll want to repeat that. And I call those my anchor lines. So how many of you guys were in the psalming upstairs this morning and saw that unfold? Yeah. What did you think about that? Isn't that wild? Changes the atmosphere. Yeah. Why do you think that is? Word of God. Exactly. You can't have any more powerful lyrics than the Word of God. Which one of those verses, and every time it's different, it's not always the same person, it changes every time. Which one of those stood out to you as the anchor line? If I was to say, if I was, you know, to observe that whole thing, was there one verse that was like, I felt the Spirit of God on that verse? Yep. Yep. Sunrise to sunset. Yeah, that was it. To me, when I looked back after that, yeah, I heard a few along the way that were like, wow, that's cool. Wow, that's cool. When Katie started singing 12, the room came undone and you could feel the power of God in the room, couldn't you? And that's when you know it's an anchor line. That's when you know. And it might just be you at your own piano. And that was me many times through the years. And sometimes things happen with those, sometimes things don't. But the thing is, when you hear something like that, it's usually something God wants you to learn from in that moment. And we're going from beyond the pages of observing to applying it to our lives. What does that mean for me right now? And many times, just like we did this morning, do you realize how many times we repeated 12? Did you guys think about how many times? How many times would you guess? A couple hundred. Okay. Did it seem like it was long? No. It felt short because it was, the message of it was still sinking. The longer we sang it, it just felt the message went deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's good. So sometimes we repeat those anchor lines to learn it or to remember it. But sometimes it's because we are soaking it in and we are understanding it. And that's really important. And so when we're listening and we hear an anchor line like that, a lot of times I'll go back to the other verses and sing, and then I might repeat that anchor line. And you might have seen me up there today. I was going up to people and saying, remember what you just sang, because we might come back, because I heard something on that. Okay, remember what you sang. And I was about to pull them all out, the ones that I felt were all hooks. But then everything came undone when we hit 12. But I did tell them, remember what you sang, because I think that's a song. And so anyways, going back to that anchor feels really good if you want it to feel more familiar, like a chorus or just like the normal shape of a song of what we normally are comfortable with. Those anchors are really helpful. So you can sing a verse or two, come back to that anchor. Do another couple verses, come back to that anchor. And that's a really good way to psalm. And, you know, yesterday, do you remember the psalming we did yesterday morning? So that was from when I was psalming 119, which is a really, really long chapter. Yeah, it's its own book. The reason why it's so long is because they do one letter starting each line for 8 lines, and then they switch to the next letter in their alphabet. And that's why it's so long, because it's a poetic device, basically. Mm-hmm. But I heard one line, one anchor line that I repeated for I don't know how many verses. I just kept going back to that one. And it wasn't until the very end I heard 3 more anchor lines. And then those are the things that we sang yesterday, and we did them in a round and we kind of put them all together. But all that to say, you might hear more than one anchor line, and that's cool. So record those pieces, go back and forth, let them soak in, learn them from the inside out. And then your example here, I have a live psalming from Matt and Ryan from our very first writing worship conference, which was in 2021. So you guys can listen to that. All right, and then step 3 is follow. And I put Mark 1:18, which says, they dropped their nets and followed. And when I'm at this step, I've already learned to hear God's voice, and it took me a while to get there while psalming. This was not a fast process for me. This took years to process. But once I felt like I could hear his voice, then I heard him telling me to take things off the page a little bit, to take some of those anchor lines and pull them out and create more things with them and do different things. And sometimes you can't plan for that. You have to listen for that. And it's different every time, and he doesn't follow patterns. He does not always follow the same patterns. He likes to do a new thing. He likes to keep us on our toes and keep us listening. I might ask him questions about an anchor line like, Lord, what else does scripture have to say about whatever that topic is? Or can you lead me to other imagery that represents that line? What else, what other stories in scripture kind of point to that idea? I'll ask a lot of questions like that. And then I might do some research. I might go to Bible Gateway and search up whatever word or concept that I'm thinking about and find the stories and find the other scriptures and this other things in scripture that all point to that. Then I have a picture in here of an example. This is Psalm 79, which is what I was psalming just one random day, because I do that as a discipline. And I got to, I can't even read what verse it is. This is in the message, so hard to tell. But it said, pull us out of this mess, forgive us of our sins, do what you're famous for doing. And you can see I put my chord symbols there, squeezed them in, which is why now we have this journal, so you have plenty more room. But I want to play for you what I heard that morning, the anchor line, and where I went when I followed it. Let's see if I can get this QR code to come up here. So this is me at my piano psalming one morning. Here goes. Okay, that was my morning psalming. Does anybody know what song that might be yet? Yeah? Okay. Well, that morning, I happened to be writing with Chuck Butler, who is here Monday, one of my dear friends that I love writing with. And I felt like the Lord said, take it into your right. And so we had a lot of conversations, and we continued to follow him off the page. So we had conversations like, what stories in the Bible are examples of showing the power of God and how he became famous across the earth? What are the stories that represent that? And we began to talk about those and trying to incorporate those. And we came up with a version one, which was with an artist named Alexis Slifer. And you might know now there was another version, which Chuck shared the version one with Torin Wells. And Torin came in as a writer, changed some of our timing, and rewrote the bridge so that it felt like him, like he could carry it. So, but I wanted to share with you version one just a little bit so you could hear the process. You'll hear a different timing. I'm just going to play you a verse and a chorus, if it'll play for me. Okay, that was it. So you can hear that process, and it's really beautiful when you get to this place because you're trusting that other people are listening and following too. And it took several listeners and followers to get to the end result of that song. And guess what? None of us could have done that alone. It took a team effort. And so that's another part of psalming, is psalming in community. You get more ears and more followers, and you can create different things that way than you ever could by yourself. So, I'm not minimizing your own psalming either. They're both really important. They're just different. But that was truly an adventure, and I'm so thankful that I got to experience that. But it's really important to also note that not all psalmings end that way. If you count how many psalmings came before that one, I don't know. I mean, probably 300 per year, at least, for over a decade. So that's a rare thing for things to go to that place. But does that make the daily psalming less significant? Absolutely not. That prepared me for that one. And I wasn't scared of it because I knew the routine. I knew the discipline. I knew what it felt like. He had me ready for that. Does psalming ever feel too routine? Yes, it does. I know, Jerry, have you ever felt like psalming got routine for you? Yes. He felt like he was being obedient. Jerry has completed psalming all 150 psalms. He's the first of our whole community to do that. So let's give him a hand. Jerry, can you come up for a second? I would love, can you just share a minute of your heart about your experience and what you learned through the psalms?
Yep. So like many of you, the concept was completely new and foreign. I heard about it obviously before I joined Writing Club from reading the first book and seeing it demonstrated. And for me, you know, so 2023 has been just a watershed year for me, joining this community, committing to writing. But for me, the biggest thing was I got to get into the Word more. If I'm going to be a credible worship writer, I've got to get steeped in the Word and deeply steeped in the Word. And for me, I think what I told Christy when I met her first day of this conference was I don't need one more thing to do. So for me, psalming became part of my daily devotion. So I'm into daily devotion and I follow a plan, and whatever psalm it was that day, I psalmed to that psalm. So I wasn't creating one more thing to do. It just became the way I got the Word in me. And as you saw the last 2 days, it's sticky, y'all, right? So it has power, and never got to a point of what I saw up there in my own music room by myself, but sometimes those days were close where you felt the presence of God moving. I'm not a singer. You can probably tell from my voice, I'm not a singer. I don't play a melody instrument. And if a non-singer, non-melody instrument guy can do that, can psalm from the power of the Holy Spirit, you all can do psalming. Absolutely, right? So I just challenge you that. I want to have other people that have done 150. We got a couple of folks that are close. But anyway, I don't want to, this is your show. So I think you hit it. That part of scripture is definitely meant to be sung. And you will hear and you will feel things differently by not just, okay, I read Psalm 121 today. And yep, I may have gleaned something from it, which you always do. But to have the repetition and the sinking in, you know, I think I know at least that part of the Bible much better. It took me 22 and a half weeks to do all 150, and I did not miss a day. But that was me just saying, if I miss a day, I have to fight my way back into the discipline, right? So y'all can probably tell I'm a structure writer. So that bodes well for that. But yeah, I think just deeper into scripture for sure. I've had a couple writes where we've taken some things in. There's one song, I don't think it's made it into a workshop yet, but yeah, and I think it's just the heart posture of, for me, it was just, I want God's word to pour out. So I've got to have it pour in. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Give it up for Jerry. That's pretty amazing. It's quite the commitment. Okay. So we talked through step three. Let's talk a little bit about step four, and that's collaborate. And the verse I chose to represent how this feels is 1 Corinthians 3:9. And it says, "We are gardeners and field workers laboring with God. You are the vineyard, the garden, the house where God dwells." I'm going to pause just for a second. Is there any way you could pull up a YouTube video, JR? Do we have that capability? Okay. Out of the Woods, Chrissy Nordoff, if you can find it. I would love to show you guys this one. So after psalming many years, and I want to emphasize that, like, this was not something I heard right away. I heard the Lord say to me one morning, "Now, sing me your psalm." And I was terrified when I heard him say that morning, because I knew what he was asking of me. He knew I wrote songs almost every day, right? He meant something different. He was meaning, what he was meaning when he said that to me was, I want to hear the deepest part of what you're going through, and I don't want you to hold back, and then I want you to come to me and worship me as you're doing it. I knew that's what he meant. And I had actually just sung through Song of Solomon. I made this decision, like, actually, there are more songs in the Bible than psalms. And so anytime I come across a song, I'm going to sing it. So I was in my reading plan and I came to Song of Solomon, And I decided, well, I'm going to sing it. So there's a female voice and there's a male voice. And then there's a choir of maidens, it said in the translation I was reading or singing. And I decided that I would change the tone of my voice, the pitch of my voice, depending on who was singing in that song. And when I did that, it just felt like this musical almost. It felt like I could see this whole thing playing out. And it's just me by myself having a good time in my music room and just picturing this. And I realized in that moment, I'm like, wow, so many times all of our songs are in one point of view. But look at this song. This is three points of view. So anyways, I had just sung through that, soaked it in. And that was maybe the day before the Lord told me to sing him a psalm. So you can hear the influence of that in this song. So that was kind of fresh. And I had actually gone through a rough season, and it was actually related to church hurt. And I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that. But if you have, Psalms is a good place to go. And so, oh, he has it up. Look at this. All right. So this is what came out. And I ended up recording this. And again, is this like huge worldwide hit? Absolutely not. It meant something to me, though. And I pulled in Ryan Hall to sing Jesus, of course. And then you'll see there's a choir in there. So what it ended up looking like was me singing my voice. I heard the Lord singing back to me. And then I just was picturing the great cloud of witnesses as the choir. So the Lord made me really think about the fact that I wasn't alone, that there were people that had gone on before me that I knew and loved that were cheering me on from where he was. And it was just an expression of that moment with him. This is my psalm, first one I ever did really for the Lord. Just for the two of us, and it's called Out of the Woods.
Let me lead you, let me lead you. You're almost out of the woods. You're almost out of the woods. Let me lead you. Let me lead you. You're almost out of the woods. You're almost out of the woods.
But the wilderness hurts so much. The wilderness hurts so much. And I feel like giving up. I feel like giving up.
I will lead you. You're almost out of the woods. Trust me, it's gonna be good. I will lead you. I will lead you. You're almost out of the woods. Trust me, it's gonna be good.
But the wilderness hurts so much.
just sing my song over you for a minute. Help you remember I am with you. I'll never leave you. Let me just sing my song over you for a minute. Help you remember I am with you. I'll never leave you. There's a cost that comes with obedience, and I see that you're willing to pay it. Willing to lay your life down and obey me. And you will be rewarded. You will be rewarded. Wait till you see the big picture. Wait till you see the big picture.
Cost me blood,
and I don't want to give up.
My strength is enough. I will hold you. I will hold you. We're almost out of the woods. It's just about to get good.
I will hold you. I will hold you. We're almost out of the woods. It's just about to get good.
Okay, so did anything about my situation change throughout that whole psalming? Did you hear anything change about what I was walking through? Anybody? Exactly. Yep. Did the situation change though, or did my heart change? My heart changed. Where did I learn how to do that? Where did I learn that perspective? David, exactly. Exactly. That's where I learned that. That was a direct expression in my mind of learning that from repeating, 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 repeating those psalms. Eventually, the psalms changed everything about all my songs. And even when I wasn't technically singing from scripture or consciously writing from it, the language and patterns were flowing out of me. Scripture was still informing and influencing everything I wrote, even when I didn't know it. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And it really does get hidden to the point where you don't realize it sometimes. I'll never forget recently, I heard a podcast and they were talking about Psalm 69 verse 1. I'm on page 14 now. It says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I don't know how many times I sang that psalm, but I wrote this lyric last year. Actually, you guys will hear it tonight. It's in the song Perseverance. And it says this, don't you be caught off guard when life keeps getting harder. You're neck deep in the water. Don't be afraid. And I didn't even think about the fact that came from Psalms until I heard someone else talking about that was a line out of Psalms. So Many times that's happened where I don't know when I'm writing it that I'm pulling from scripture because it's hidden. And I kind of, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that it's in there, but it took years and I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And I don't think it ends, you know, throughout our whole lives while we're here. We just keep growing and learning. Okay, so those are the four steps. We're going to talk just a little bit about some general characteristics of Psalms. And this was the part I could have gone really scholarly and academic, but I didn't. So we'll keep it brief. But I think these are still important things to be aware of as you're going through. So Psalms itself is already organized into five books. That's the way that Scripture organized it. So this journal is book one of Psalms. So this is 1 through 41. I thought it might be nice to break it down into pieces, not only because if we did all of them, they'd be like this big, all in one gigantic book, but also I wanted you to know that you could do it. And I wanted you to feel a sense of accomplishment by doing chunks at a time rather than looking at the whole and going, I'm never going to be able to do that. I want you to know that you can do it. So this is book one. Has 41 Psalms. All of those books have a final blessing, and I tell you where those are. Book one is mainly authored by David. He calls God Yahweh most of the time through this book. And the general topics are humans and creation. And it has the storyline very similar to Genesis. So the five books actually mirror the Pentateuch, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Generally in storyline, which is really cool. So when you're going through this, you'll want to be thinking about Genesis and about creation as you're going through and looking for those parallels. Number two, we talk about the types of Psalms. This is page 19. I'm just going to read these headings and then just know that you can research this later. So hallelujah or praise songs, Thanksgiving songs. I'm actually really intrigued by those right now, and we'll be talking more about those in our community. But I do just want to say, did you know that there were Levites that were assigned specifically to write the songs of Thanksgiving? That was their job. They had the songs of praise and the songs of Thanksgiving. Those were their two categories back then. Okay, three, prayer and petition songs. Four, penitential, which is expressing genuine sorrow for sin. Five, sacred history songs. Six, enthronement of the Lord songs about him reigning. Seven, liturgical songs. Eight, trust and devotion. Nine, pilgrimage songs, also called the songs of ascent. 10, creation songs. 11, wisdom and instruction songs. 12, royal or messianic songs, and 13, imprecatory songs, the ones that call for God's judgment or curses on the wicked. So it's helpful to know where all these songs are because, you know, like you were saying, Jerry, I most times just go one to the next, to the next, to the next. But sometimes there have been days when I felt betrayed by a friend. And I found a psalm that talked about being betrayed by a friend. And when I sang that, it helped walk me back to worship. So if you're going through a specific situation or circumstance, you can use this as a guide to find your song to help walk you back to worship too. Okay, number three, another thing I want you to notice are the titles. So the author sometimes is listed, the audience for which the psalm was intended, the occasion for which the psalm was written, or maybe even musical direction for how the song was to be delivered. And I'm going to break those down into a little more detail quickly. So as far as the author goes, I'm just going to give an example. I was singing Psalm 51, which appears to be a song of repentance and restoring relationship with God. But I realized when I made the connection, this was the song that David wrote after he had an affair with Bathsheba. So knowing the author's story helps you to understand their song. How many of you guys were here last night for the Redbird Common event? Yeah. Does it make a big difference when you hear the story behind a song? Yeah. So the same is true here. If you're paying attention to those authors, especially David, and if you know his life and the stories from Samuel and previous books, it's really helpful to give insight into what those mean, the deeper meaning of the song. Okay, audience, pay attention to those. Sometimes you might read it and think, that's for me. And I have more to dig into with that, but we'll just say pay attention to those. Occasions. Sometimes it'll say songs are supposed to be sung for certain occasions, and those are always interesting. I found this interesting that Psalm 92 says it's a song for Sabbath day, and it talks about praise. I thought that was really cool. And then there's several songs that have what day they're listed for. And it was funny to me when I was reading through, the psalm for Wednesday sounded just like hump day. It was like desperate. And then the Friday one was like real happy. It was like TGIF. That's basically what that theme was of that song. So it's just fun to notice those things. And then musical direction. Sometimes it'll say something like a song of David accompanied by strings. And when I see that, there's a part of my heart that wants to honor that. So I'll grab my little dulcimer and I want to feel the strings on my fingers when I sing that song. All right, the next category, song structure. I'm not going to go into a ton of detail. You can read more about it. But just know that there are so many on-purpose structures in the Psalms, and you'll begin to see them if you start to look for them. You'll see choruses, you'll see refrains. There's one that has a verse that starts one way and then it has a different finish each time. That's pretty cool. You'll start to notice if you're looking for them, and try to look for those through your songwriter eyes. You'll begin to see them. Number five, point of view. This is maybe one of my favorite things, because I was speaking about this earlier. A lot of times in the church today, we choose one person or tense to talk from in songs. And we want to make it easy for people to understand who we're talking to, who's speaking, and all of that. And if there's a lot of switching, it can be confusing. However, when I did that Out of the Woods, I was like, this, it feels like we could maybe incorporate some of this into congregational worship. I don't know. There's one chapter in Psalms where David addresses or speaks to 20 different things, creatures or sky or moon or sun, and over 20 different things. And I just get inspired by things like that to challenge us to do more than what we think we can with congregational worship. I think our congregations can handle it. You think so? Yeah, I think they're hungry for more. And if we're using the Bible as our example, there's way more poetic devices that are used here that seem to be acceptable for congregational settings. Okay, and then finally, we've got parallelism. And of all the poetic devices, I decided we would just talk about this one in the book because it's the most frequently used poetic device in the Psalms. And also, not all of the poetic devices translate into English, and we can't see them all. Like I was telling you about Psalm 119. If you didn't know that the first eight lines started with A, I mean, you wouldn't be able to find that in our language because it doesn't translate. But parallelism translates. So I really like this definition. It says, one statement followed by another, done with art, style, and image. That is, by saying the same thing in slightly different words, the total impression is enhanced beyond saying either line alone. It's like listening to a stereo recording receiving from two speakers together in a living sensation of sound. I think it's pretty cool. And I just put one example in here. You will see them if you're looking for it. If you know about them, you'll find them. So example here is Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, So my soul pants for you, oh God. Can you hear how that's a stereo? It's pretty cool. It's a lyrical stereo, and it's meant to get your attention. So those are important things to notice. What those words are saying, it's a really important message for us to grab onto. Okay, so that covers the bulk of the characteristics. And my plan is that with each new journal, we'll have a lot of the same in the beginning because all of it applies to all the journals. But I am going to add one new thing in each journal and a different word of encouragement. So as we continue, you'll get more and more information, but just a little at a time. I do have a video in here for how to use the journal if you want to watch that. Then I just have a word of encouragement for you. And then we start Psalms Book 1. And the whole point is, this is really not just a book that I wanted to write. This is a book for you to write with me. So I want you to write the bulk of this book. And this is what the pages look like. So you'll see a psalm on the left and then a blank page on the right. So you can write in chord symbols, anchor lines. Oh, I hear the Lord speaking this to me. I'm going to write it down, just writing down words. Or if you're following him and he takes you out of the psalm and wants you to write something new, you have plenty of space to do that. So hopefully that'll give you some freedom. With the spiral bound, you should be able to put it up on your piano, or if you're playing guitar, you can throw it down on the floor if you want to. I have a few different QR codes in there of songs that I wrote that were inspired by that particular psalm, so you'll find those kind of as you go through. And I also want to say, I went through 7 different translations for each chapter and chose which one I felt like would be the best for you to psalm. That might be the most creatively inspiring for you as we went through. So there's a couple paraphrases and different translations. So you'll notice that it's not all in one, and that's on purpose. That's part of the plan. I tried to pick the ones I thought would serve you best. And that's it. That's Psalm 1 through 41, and we'll keep going. Are there any questions? Do you guys have any questions? Yeah.
So you've done this. I'm just wondering, obviously you've done this a lot, and I know Jerry has, but and you're going back through a second time. So I'm just thinking through it, like, how many times have you written a psalm for Psalm 1, you know, or like, because I guess the task in me is like, oh, I've already done a Psalm 1, you know, so should I just move on to Psalm 2, or would you recommend going through Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3, and just kind of going through it methodically like that? What would you recommend?
That's kind of a hard question, but I went through all in one translation. I think you did too, right, Jerry? Oh, multiple translations. All right. I went all the way through one translation, and then I switched, did another translation, switched, did another translation. So what you could do technically, if you follow the translation in here and you do Psalm 1 and you write a song and you're like, check, I did Psalm 1, I did a song, switch the translation and do it again, and you could get a totally different song. I've done it, I don't know how many different translations now, probably 4 or 5 different translations, or more, I don't remember. But it's really funny because it's just like when you read scripture, you know, sometimes you'll read a scripture and there'll be a phrase that stands out to you, and then you hold on to that for a season, and then few years later, you read that same exact scripture and a completely different thing stands out to you that you know you read before, but you just didn't grab onto it. Do you know what I'm saying? So the same thing happens with psalming. The word of God is powerful. So I don't think you could ever finish, you know, like a psalm. Like I feel like it'll unfold more and more and more the more times you do it. So yeah. make a goal and then just follow through with that and then switch it up. Yeah.
I was just going to, thank you. On that, my goal for this year is to use it as a framework for all the things that I want to learn, music styles, things like that. So even though I've done a lot of these Psalms before, I'm still going straight through them, and whatever it is I want to learn, I'm going to wrap it around one after the other. So that's my, that makes my curriculum in a sense free. That's the skeleton. And, but a comment I just wanted to make, one of the things I do with the imprecatory Psalms, that's the scholarly thing coming out. new word for the day. I reverse them sometimes. And I started doing that a long time ago, actually, about 10, 15 years ago. I was reading, I think it was 69, and it was all this horribles, curses. And God said, this is a word for your daughter. And it was like, oh, well, that's awful. And he said, no, just reverse it. And so like where it said, because you speak ill of God's people, this is what's going to happen. And God said, your daughter doesn't. So because you speak well of God's people, the opposite of this curse is what I'm going to give to this people that speak well. So I went through that whole psalm and just reversed everything. And it became this phenomenal word for her. And I realized that I was missing a lot by just reading the curses and not realizing that that for people that do the opposite of that, that are doing the good things, there are blessings, and you can see those blessings in that. So there's a lot in those scriptures to mine out.
What a cool idea. Very cool. Great. I love it. Okay. Well, I know we probably need to wrap up. We've got another breakout session coming here soon, but thank you guys so much for joining me, and I encourage you to dig into this side of scripture, especially if you haven't before. And I've said this many times, but if you get blessed when you read scripture and something stands out to you, just wait until you sing it, and then you carry that melody with you too. You just never forget it. So I just pray that this is a blessing over your songs, but more so over your life. Yeah. So God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
I hope that was as meaningful for you as it was for us. If you're a songwriter and you're resonating with any of what you heard today, we'd love to get to know you more and introduce you to some folks in our community. All of our podcast interviews and guest lectures come from either our Writing Club monthly breakouts or our annual Writing Worship Conference. Check out the show notes to learn how to get more involved with Writing Club, our mentorship taught by our founder, Chrissy Nordoff, or stuff we talked about in today's episode. Find us on Facebook at the Writing Worship Community, on Instagram at writingworship.co, and our website, writingworship.co. We love meeting new folks and supporting songwriters, so be sure to stop in, say hello, and get to know us a little bit. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The times I've grown most as a songwriter are the times I've had mentors showing me the way. If you're looking to grow as a songwriter, we're now accepting applications for our Worship Songwriter Mentorship. Now, it's available only a few times each year. The Worship Songwriter Mentorship is a songwriting intensive that will help you craft impactful worship songs. It's a course created by Dove Award-winning and Grammy-nominated, drumroll here, please, our founder, pro songwriter Chrissy Nordoff. It's a small group community, and it's led by other songwriters over the course of 9 weeks. It's an intensive course in a small group co-writing environment, and that means you'll be added to a special group of about 12 writers, give or take. Each group is led by experienced songwriters, some of them my dear, dear friends, and I've even gotten to lead a group or two. Rachel here, by the way. We love the church, and we love to champion fellow worship songwriters just like yourself. In this mentorship, you'll learn how to write songs for you and your congregation. You'll go deeper in your intimacy with Jesus. You'll get the tools needed to help craft songs more easily and never run out of creative ideas. Okay, I know it sounds too good to be true, but trust me, this course is a game changer. You'll learn how to leverage your unique songwriting personality and connect with other like-minded writers in a meaningful way. Truly, I can't think of another course, group of people, community that has impacted my songwriting the way that this mentorship has. If you're wanting to take the next steps in your songwriting journey, then apply now at the link in our show notes. We hope to see you there.